Hey there, and welcome to another episode of The Designated Pundits. Today, reactions from Week 10, Match Day 10, Major League Soccer. Here today with my co-host, Alex. Alex, how you doing?
Not bad. How you doing, Bob? All right?
Not bad. It's been
how's the birthday weekend? It was birthday weekend, if I'm not mistaken. No.
It was. I stopped counting about 9 years ago. But okay. Yeah, we had that going on. Great weekend. A great week of a Major League Soccer. It's kind of a weird week. 5 wins, 3 draws, 6 losses to the home team. So definitely had some MLS after dark going on in that late slate. But it was great for us because we're 5-4, up 2.2 units. Made some really big plays, especially on Vancouver to win at Seattle. That was kind of our big money for the week. And in my BetUS debut, I went 4-1, and I won second place for Capper of the Week. So that was a whole lot of fun there. And remember, you can find us at The Designated Pundits, youtube.com/The Designated Pundits. Make sure you hit that bell icon, get notified whenever we go live, and make sure you subscribe. That's going to help us so much reach all of our goals for this year. Alex, let's start with our cover art today, which is NYCFC. They had another 2-0 win, shutting out DC United. Certainly was not expected for me on any level. They've won 2 straight after drawing 2 straight, so it looks like the ship in New York City might be back on track. 3.8 expected goals, Santi Rodriguez with a goal and an assist on 5 shots. And you had Moncef Bakar, 77 minutes, 5 shots, only 1 on target, and he had such a big miss. He himself had 1.21 expected goals. He has to be the worst striker in Major League Soccer, but it doesn't matter. NYCFC on a 2-game tear here.
Yeah, I don't know what you think, but to me, NYCFC, when they play at Citi Field, they seem better than when they play at Yankee Stadium. And I don't have statistics. I don't have, you know, X goals or wins, losses. They're just fun to watch. To me, they're better to watch at Citi Field than at our Yankee Stadium. I don't know what you think, but that's what I see. To me, it looks like a totally different team when they play Citi Field, which seems weird to me. Temporary one of the home fields before they get their cube set up in the Queens. But we're 2-0 against DC, and no joke, they look really good. I was a little surprised with you with this too. Also, again, NYCFC seem to be turning the corner right now. It seems to give me more of an identity. Mr. Rodriguez played an excellent game in this game. Again, DC United, every time you think they're about to turn the corner, something like this rears his ugly head. The 2-0 loss at NYCFC. Benteke, nothing to show for in this game, and yeah, NYCFC with the 3 points.
Had two coaches here going against each other. Troy Lesane from New York Red Bull got a nice new contract in DC. He's been doing all hot and cold with that club a little bit. But the one guy, Cushing, we want to talk about from NYCFC, do you think he's officially off the hot seat now?
No. One bad loss. I still think the fans are still going to be clamoring for changes. Again, things are looking in the right direction. But when NYCFC, when you see they're at home, well, let me check the schedule. Is that Yankee Stadium or is it Citi Field? That's something to consider. You know, that still can't be easy on the players, can't be easy on coaching, can't be easy on the fans. That's still an issue with them, I think.
I agree, but it is worth noting that because of the end of season schedule congestion issues with Yankees playing in Yankee Stadium, NYCFC is on a 5-game homestand right now on game. This will be game 4 this weekend. They have a draw and 2 wins so far in that homestand. I actually thought because they were playing in Citi Field, they would have less of an advantage. So I bet against New York City. Did not work out, but hey, all power to them. Santi Rodriguez has had an amazing little run for himself. And NYCFC is putting together a nice little homestand. They play Charlotte FC this weekend, and that's a match that I think that they should again take. So I'm actually betting on NYCFC this weekend. We'll talk about those picks more in depth on Thursday, but I did want to point out quite an easy schedule for them with Charlotte coming up next. Let's now talk again about Charlotte and how bad they were this past week. And Minnesota 3-0. This is a game where I had Charlotte set to win. They were home. I thought that they were going to have a little life in them. We saw Pukki started on the bench, and Minnesota wasn't necessarily at full strength. Does not matter because Charlotte did not show up to play. I don't think this really is as much a Minnesota win as it was a Charlotte loss. You see after those plays, when they were scored on, hands on the hips, just looking around. No one was getting angry. It was just a bad look for Charlotte. lost 3-0 at home.
I didn't like Charlotte's midfield this game, and I was surprised. Charlotte at home, usually they're a tough out. You know, visiting teams have difficulty picking up points. Minnesota went there, and they looked dangerous on the counter. Robin Lodo, I think, goal and two assists. He was excellent this game. So to consider storyline with Minnesota, Pukki on the bench. I hear this may be a thing going forward with them. I'm not sure what's going on with Coach Ramsey and Pukki being on the bench. And that was something interesting. First thing I saw, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? But the way Minnesota's played in this game, they were so dangerous on the counter. Charlotte, just like I said, hands on hips with the midfield. I did not like the way they played. They look a step slow this whole game. And, you know, you look at the statistics, I think it was almost 50-50 possession. I don't really care this game. Minnesota, every time there was any kind of space or counter play or like this, Charlotte looked like in trouble and then capitalizes 3-0 spanking at home.
Yeah, I completely agree. One of the things that was even more striking about this game is that it was a primetime game. It was the only game going on that Sunday. There was nothing else to watch. Couldn't even pull my eyes away from what was going on there. Really, really poor showing by Charlotte. Let's move on now and talk a little about Inter Miami. Inter Miami beat Nashville 3-1. They were 7 of 10 of their shots were on target. Incredibly accurate. All year, Inter Miami has had kind of medium low shot totals, but most of the shots on target. I've just not seen something like that in Major League Soccer in quite a long time. Messi, player of the week, 2 goals and an assist. Busquets 1-for-1, one shot on target with a goal. Nashville did end up with a 2-minute goal early, and that was actually an Inter Miami own goal, but then they conceded 3 straight to lose this match. Inter Miami is on a tear, Alex, and there's really no denying it at this point.
Yeah, but again, what I know is Diego Gomez gets injured this game here. He's going to be out 6 weeks. Today during the transfer window, I guess MLS has this weird transfer window. Ending day, they signed a Paraguayan midfielder or attacking player, I guess, to replace Diego Gomez about 6 weeks. You know, it seems like each week Miami's someone goes down. I think Alba's been out with a hamstring, if I'm mistaken, right now. So now Gomez, again, they're getting results, yes, but I'm still a little cautious with Miami. Yes, Messi's there. Yes, he's Messi, of course, but he needs players around him. Guys can't be dropping left and right around him, and then we continue to have success.
I agree. 2.8 expected goals for Miami against 1.8 expected goals in Nashville. And while we can talk about how good Miami's been, and hey, they are top of the Eastern Conference, they are stacking as many points now because they know it's going to get harder as the rest of the season goes by, especially when we get to this summer. But I want to talk a bit about Nashville because this offense is just broken and the defense is the worst we've seen in a long time. Walker Zimmerman and Shaq Moore are back in training this week. I don't know what that means for their match fitness, but do you think Nashville can turn a corner here and succeed and play well in Major League Soccer?
I'm not sure. Mukhtar does not look Mukhtarish. I mean, is that a real word? Because it makes sense what I just said there, but it doesn't look like the MVP candidate to me so far. You know, Zimmerman going down big in the season was a big hit. Sturridge has been hurt. Contributes slightly, but nothing really to go crazy about. Again, the ex-Red Bulls that are there, Sean Davis and Alex Wheel, I mean, you know, no difference makers at all. Drew Yearwood, I don't see any difference makers there. Again, same coach, same message year after year after year. After a while, the players start to tune it out sometimes. This may be instance where Gary Smith might be in a hot seat here. I'm not sure, but the players, something needs to change there. And I don't know what it is. You know, maybe getting Walker Zimmerman back and Shaq Moore can light a spark with them defensively. Maybe they can, you know, start winning games 1-0, 2-0 like that when they get those guys back. But as of right now, something's missing in Nashville, and you know, all signs point to the coach being the problem.
Yeah, I half agree there. They've allowed 16 goals, which is an incredible amount over just 8 games. They're averaging 2 goals conceded a game. That's not part of their makeup. What it's always been is a low volume offense centered around one star. We haven't seen much from Surridge yet this year either. He was supposed to be the one to bring them to the next level, and Tyler Boyd has been hurt. So very interesting what I'm seeing here from Nashville. Because of the goals allowed, if they can tighten that up, they can be what they've been in years past, which is an underwhelming offense with a really solid defense. But it's going to rely on Walker Zimmerman and Shaq Moore both getting healthy at the same time. That's obviously a huge reason for their downturn. I just don't see them as being more than a 7th or 8th place team with their current roster this year.
And that's pushing it. Bobby, I mean, you might be pushing it there. Yeah, something's missing there. I just don't know what it is. They're missing that spark. Yeah, that spark at home, especially when you step that spark at home, they seem unbeatable. They just don't have it right now.
Absolutely. We will see, because they have a nice little stretch coming up, so maybe they can right this ship here very soon. Let's now move on and talk about the Great White North. Vancouver beat Seattle in Seattle 2-0. We had Vancouver Whitecaps plus 0.5 for minus 110 on the book last week. We also splashed Vancouver to win outright. Seattle's just looking bad. However, we've also said Vancouver also looks really good. Yes. Was this a matter of just a better day, a better opponent? Because in Seattle, Vancouver hasn't necessarily had all the success in the world. These are Cascadia Cup rivals here. So are you blaming Seattle for being bad or Vancouver for being good?
I think it's a combination of both right now. We've talked about Seattle past shows. Jordan Moores, where are you? Thursday, where are you? Rui Diaz getting a little steps older. Injuries all over the place on Seattle. And what's not to like about Vancouver? Ryan Gold, most exciting player no one talks about. The coach Santini, I say his name right. His first name, I kill it all the time. He's an exciting, very outspoken, friendly kind of coach. I think he's a players type coach. You can see Brian White has really succeeded with him as head coach over there. Vancouver's fun to watch. MLS After Dark talk about it, but Vancouver's on. They're almost next to LA Galaxy. That's one of the games I want to put on and see what they're doing, because they're a lot of fun to watch, especially at home. And this game against Seattle, this goes back to NASL days. These are long-time rivals. Fans don't like each other. It might not be Seattle-Portland, but it's almost right there, Vancouver. They do not like each other in Seattle. And let me tell you something. Vancouver going there and getting a result like that, very impressive. In Seattle, again, I mean, this is not the Sounders of old. There's still time. You know, a lot of injuries, but I'm getting real nervous what's going on in Seattle.
I agree. Now, I like Vancouver. I like their formation. They're one of the teams running the three-man back line right now, but they're doing it better than anyone else. They are second place in the Western Conference. One of my players of the season has actually been Takioka. I think he's been fantastic in goal for them so far, because just by design, they've been taking chances and leaving themselves susceptible at points just to get up the field and try to put that ball in the net. 5 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses, 17 goals, 9 against, plus 8 goal differential. That is the best in Major League Soccer right now.
Everything you said is like impressive for after 8 games. Any team would sign up for that right now if I told you beginning of the season those are your stats after 8 games. Listen, they're fun to watch. We need to start paying serious attention to Vancouver and take them seriously.
And as far as Seattle Sounders go, I think it's going to get even worse for them this week. If you look at what happened at the end of the game, 2 red cards to Reagan and Alex Roldan. So they're going to be missing 2 players that they desperately need on the field. If that's not bad enough, Seattle lost Pedro de la Vega again. He was supposed to make his comeback. He had another injury in the same leg. So we don't know how much time he's going to be away, but it's obviously going to be significant at this point. And, you know, Raul Ruiz Diaz has 4 goals. There's 5 guys with 1 goal each. Roldan, Musovski, Tevez, Morris, Pedro de la Vega.
Oh, Morris, there is. You didn't mention them. There's Morris. Okay, there he is.
Yeah.
Where Morris please disappeared. I don't understand what happened to him. He's like he's dropped off the face of the planet out of nowhere.
Well, like, 29, he's happened? Had a couple surgeries, and I think that is going to be an issue. And Seattle is headed to D.C. to play D.C. United, I believe, this week. I'd have to double check that, but moving from West Coast to East Coast, that's hard on the body. That's hard on the team. They're going to be without 3 players that they want on the field every single match. It's not looking good for Seattle Sounders. And this is a team that we used to watch every single year. We knew they were going to be contenders for MLS Cup.
Yeah, and they're also in the FIFA World Cup. They're already qualified for that. But right now, the way they are,
good luck.
Yeah, oof. You're gonna need to make changes before that tournament starts. Let's get that straight. Right, let's get that out right in the open.
Who knows? Maybe that'll be their year. Then maybe you know, we talk about the CONCACAF slump from teams going far. Maybe you know the MLS slump's gonna carry into another tournament. It won't.
It's
funny to speculate.
Highly unlikely, Bob. Highly unlikely.
One of my other bets that cashed this week: Red Bull New York. Plus 0.5 at minus 20 versus LAFC. I also sprinkled them to win, something that looked for 94 and a half minutes like it was going to happen. Another last minute draw for Red Bull. Buanga, 95 minute goal to finish the match. Buanga had 2 goals in this one. Forsberg with a goal went 1-for-1 shooting. Red Bull 43% possession, 2 of 8 shots on target, 1.4 expected goals. They're not shooting a lot, but when they do, they're finding the target. LAFC's 57% possession with 6 of 15 shots landing on target, which is a very, very great clip. 1.8 expected goals. So Red Bull got a result, a draw that they, again, second time in a week I'm saying this. If you told me they were going to get a draw against LAFC and LAFC, I would have said, great, that's a great result. Doesn't feel like it though, Alex.
It felt like they lost points there. I thought they were going to walk out with 3 points. Listen, this, you know, you can't go to LAFC and expect to get 3 points. And Red Bull were right there, but Bouanga was just, he was excellent in this game. You know, Red Bull, Forsberg wide open on the set piece goal. I think it was on a corner. I think it was the flick on. He was wide open back post. Yeah. He buried that. You know, the big news in LAFC is Olivier Giroud is signed, sealed, and delivered. I understand he's coming in August and will be wearing the number 9. That's a big deal for LAFC. That's look for. I like to see how him and Bouanga up front. That's going to make LAFC pretty dangerous, I think, going in the summertime. But then in this game, this was almost an MLS Cup kind of preview. The way these teams do play, back and forth, very exciting. And then towards the end, Manuel hit the post. I do believe LAFC hit a post late in the game. So it was exciting. 2-2, I guess at the end, it's a fair result. But if you're a Red Bull fan, you would like to walk away with 3 points there.
You would. Now, LAFC, 3-3-3, 3 wins, 3 draws, 3 losses, with 15 goals scored, 14 goals conceded, plus 1 goal differential. This team is goals in every match. However, conceding 14, that's not a great clip. You're going to have to bring that down if you want to talk about being a true contender. But LAFC is going to come into the summer hot. They're going to pick up their piece, their new number 9. You know, I can't say that they have had terrible luck up top, but I don't think Bogusz has exactly played at the level they want him to play at. So, you know, pair him with Bouanga. You got Christian Oliveira that's still there. A solid midfield, if not maybe a little bit aging. LAFC's got a pretty good team, and
no, they're not done. LAFC, you know they're big name. They're trophy hunters. They're also big name hunters. There's another name out there we're not seeing coming. I'm sure in the summertime they'll be linked with. Antoine Griezmann, possibly. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, so we'll definitely keep an eye on that. But LAFC has been playing mediocre at best ball right now. Red Bull would love to have left with 3 points, but I will still take the draw. Puts them at second place under Inter Miami in the Eastern Conference standing. Let's finish up now with RSL 4, Chicago 0. Score was a little bit surprising. RSL no center backs, and they put up a clean sheet. That is not good
on
for
the road.
Chicago,
who hasn't looked very good. On the road. Yeah, on the road too in Chicago. I mean, 4-0, Bob. I mean, seriously, I sent you the clip that Bradley Roy Phillips at MLS wrap ups talked about Chicago Fire. Like, it's embarrassing. And Shaqiri Way, I think he was injured, left the 25th minute or something like that. I mean, what is going on over there? 4-0 at home to a team that had no center backs. I mean, we were talking in our group text before. Oh, we're not touching this game. We're out Salt Lake. We don't know what's going to happen. 4-0. I mean, Rongo was just like, boom. I think he had 2 goals and 2 assists in this game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I know he had at least 2 goals. He was great. Giveaways in the back, careless turnovers, step slow, every 50-50 ball RSL had. Luna didn't even start. He comes off the bench. I think he scores. You know, we don't have Scott here, the RSL homie. I'm sure he was really loving life that night. He would really be talking up RSL right now, how good they were in this game. I think it's more a question of Chicago being really bad and RSL having a good day, picking a good day to have a good day with their, you know, diminished lineup with injuries. Again, Chicago, Bob, I don't know what you think, but it is, I don't know how to fix it over there. I mean, that was such performance. I don't remember an MLS team looking that bad at home in a long time. I got to be honest.
I'll agree, except for Charlotte just looked that bad at home this
past week. Four. This is 4. I mean, some of those turnovers, the giveaways were amateurs. This is like Sunday League football here. Like, me and you played in pickup soccer. Those kind of mistakes wouldn't even happen in leagues we played in. It's effort. It's something. I don't know if the coaching, how many times are you going to bring what's-his-face back over to Chicago Fire, try to save him? I don't know what's going on over there. They do not look good at all. And, you know, we were talking about betting wise going forward. To me, I'm not touching Chicago against anybody until I see something different on the field.
Something for RSL I really like. Andre Gomez had his goal in the 24th minute. If you watched our prediction show, I specifically said that they were going to have a preferable matchup on right wing for this match. Andre Gomez with the goal pays off that. 5'8", 135 pounds. He's a little dude, but man.
He's feisty, though. Let me tell you. I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of his game. Yeah. Excellent. With Luna with him together, that's a nice little combination you got in the midfield there.
I think Luna's actually under performed my expectations. I expect him to start out, you know, just an absolute world beater, and he's been off to a little slow start. But yeah, exactly. With these two guys down the wings, I'm going to target RSL when they play teams with less than stellar fullback. Like, that's something I'm going to target now. It's like when you see LAFC against a team who can't defend the wing. Yeah, that's another team. This RSL squad, man, they have something going, and their record reflects that. They've been through a fantastic stretch now. They are third place with 4 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses. Their past 5 games, 3 wins, 2 draws. So they are one of the hottest teams in the West, and they're going to look to continue that this. Alex, short episode today on a Tuesday. We're kind of a day late. We had some conflicts yesterday, all of my own. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, one last game. Nice job, Cincinnati, going Atlanta, picking up a 2-1 win there. We didn't have time to talk about it. That was another game. We just road teams this week ruled in MLS. Won't be like that every week, but that's what makes MLS fun. That's why we talk about it. It was an exciting week of road teams. Thursday, we'll predict some more scores for you this coming week of what's going on in MLS.
Make sure you subscribe. Like, you can find us at the Designated Pundits. You can find us on your favorite podcast app. Just type the Designated Pundits. We'll be there. Again, you can find my content every Tuesday, 4 o'clock live at BetUS. We had a great bunch of picks. I gave 7 picks during today's show, including a +300 game that we're going to talk about a little bit more on Thursday when we go live with our picks. Thank you for joining us here, and thank you for listening to The Designated.